You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with Caitlin Dowling.
Cheers.
So, you know, everyone that knows is listening to this pod. I'm a huge North Carolina fan. I've had my sister on here before to talk about when Coach K retired. And I only figured because history was getting made that we had to bring her back on. And a little bit of a trivia note for all our listeners out there. I did a pod way back, back when it was Pep Talk, and actually Katie was the first guest back then. This was back in like 2011, 2012. I don't know. You can't get into the archives for those pods anymore, but nonetheless, we are here, and Saturday will be the biggest game, I think, in the NCAA tournament, or at least in almost 20 years, at the very minimum. Yeah, the fact that you have the two biggest schools. Right. I mean, if you're looking through rivalries for college, I guess like the biggest other thing you could have is like having like the Iron Bowl in the final, like having an Auburn and an Alabama, maybe in like a college football final, potentially that'd be up there, I'm sure. Or like Ohio and Michigan State in college football. Obviously, Yankees and Red Sox, that's been up there. Lakers and Celtics, we've been able to see that in big priority matchups. But nothing quite like this. And just the storyline that's going in, everyone knows that Coach Krzyzewski is in his final year here. Carolina kind of ruined his final game at Cameron. And now here we go to his final game. Carolina fans, I mean, for me, honestly, I don't even care if I win the championship. The idea of ruining. No one cares. Villanova and Kansas are just kind of doing their thing.
This is the championship. Yeah. I could care less if we lose. I mean, I will. But This is the game to win. If we win this game and lose the championship, it means way less. This is the championship.
This is bragging rights forever. For Duke fans, much like Carolina fans, they always get to be like, well, hey, remember that time we beat you in the Final Four? And you have no reply to it.
This will turn the tide of the rivalry forever. Yeah. Because since the Tar Heels beat Duke on senior night this year and ended Coach K's last home game with a blowout, terrible loss. That's all Tar Heel fans have been talking about. That's their new ammunition against Duke fans. And that's been terrible. But to do that now on the second biggest stage in the tournament for, you know, Coach K's swan song, it had to be fate. Whether that means fate that rewards Coach K or rewards Tar Heels fans, I'm glad it ended up this way because it's the best way to end his career. Either way, it's going to be
fun. Yeah. Well, I mean, it didn't happen in the ACC tournament. It looked like for a second that was where the rematch was going to go. And as they were saying on Titus and Tate this week, Tate, who's the big Carolina fan, it was right that they didn't meet in the ACC championship. It's good that it didn't. Fate was not going to allow it to happen then because it was too soon after that. And kind of going back to that loss at Cameron, potentially the best thing that ever happened to Duke, though. I think that kind of woke Duke up a little bit because they were up and down slouching.
It's been a turning point for both teams.
Yeah.
Because UNC up to that point was not doing great.
No. We were a bubble team for the tournament.
Duke was coasting. We were losing games we should have won in the final few minutes. And I think it was a turning point for both teams. And even Coach K said after that they had a week of practice that was sensational. And, you know, they did well in the ACC tournament and came up against, you know, a really hot team that hadn't won in a long time, or I don't think had ever won the ACC tournament. So, you know, whatever, big deal, ACC tournament, who cares? We're already in the tournament. But I think since then, and having watched Duke all season, we have definitely played our best basketball on our current trajectory towards the championship. And I think the Heels have been too. They didn't play this well in either game against Duke.
No, I mean, Dawson Garcia left the team, and I think that kind of woke us up. And then I'm just trying to remember. I think it was a loss to Miami. Yeah, it was a loss to Miami, and that's when Herbert just went at us, and he just said this team didn't have the heart. They didn't have what it takes for North Carolina. And if you remember, too, after some of those losses, it's the loss to Pittsburgh. It's the loss to Duke when Duke just kicks our ass. And it's the back-to-back losses, though, specifically to the U and to Wake. We lose to the U 85-57, and then we lose to Wake 98-76. And that's when Herbert goes on the media thing, and he just said this Carolina team doesn't have the Wake, and they don't deserve to be in the NCAA tournament at that point. And quite frankly, they didn't. And then, you know, they kind of got a little bit of a winning streak, but then Duke comes into Chapel Hill and absolutely washes us by 20 points. And yeah, I think even that score is a little misleading because it was such a blowout. I think it was 30 at one point. And then they even still come back and lose to Pitt and start to get some momentum. But it wasn't until they went into Cameron that they started to get something really going. And for Duke, like, you know, a lot of highs in the season. You beat great teams like Gonzaga and whatnot, but that Carolina loss, that was kind of a little bit of a wake-up call before. And you had some losses here to, like, the Virginias and the Florida States and whatnot, but I think that kind of woke them up of being in the big game too, right?
All games that Duke was leading as well. Yeah. Duke was leading, couldn't finish in the end, and I think that showed their immaturity.
Yeah.
Especially, and this has been a problem with Duke all year, is having a guy in those moments step up and take leadership, take over offensively, which we haven't really had. But since then, you know, in the tournament, Paulo stepped up huge, Roche stepped up huge, Mark Williams, and these guys want that moment now, which they didn't before because they were young, they're a bit scared, but they're willing to kind of step up and take over for the team. And another thing, and I think the biggest thing for Duke has been defense. Their defense is atrocious, was atrocious, still was has atrocious, moments, yeah. But they're playing with a bit more heart, they're playing a bit smarter, and some of them have really picked it up. Some of them not so much, and that's my biggest fear against UNC moving into Saturday, is how are guys like AJ going to step up and play defense, because AJ Griffin looks lost a lot of times defensively. He makes up for it with three balls, but, you know, when you have guys like Caleb Love and like Baycott, that he's got to step up and defend, you know, that's my biggest worry on Saturday.
Yeah, Jay Roach is a guy that stepped up, and he'll be a big part of that backcourt going against RJ and Caleb. The backcourt, I think, is going to be a great battle in this game. I think the game may be won, though, in the post. Yeah, the Williams and Baycott.
With foul trouble, too.
Yeah.
Because if you remember the last game, Theo John comes in. Theo John's going to take no prisoners, like Marquette transfer. He's hard as nails. He's going to come in and try to muscle up Baycott. Yeah. And it'll be whoever gets, you know, if we can draw fouls from Baycott and get him going, that can really benefit. So I think that's going to have to be a huge strategy, is get their bigs in foul trouble early. And biggest thing is shut down Manic on the three. And I think that's the Duke strategy.
Yeah, because that was that's in the game in Cameron where Carolina really shined, is that Baycott and Manic really kind of put, specifically Brady, kind of pushed his muscle. And much like all these games, Duke's had their guys that have shined in different games. I think Jay Roach has been the big standout for Duke in this tournament. He's really gone to another level. I think Williams has done a great job. I think Williams has done maybe the best job of anyone in either of these two teams to really up their draft stock going to the NBA draft. He's done a phenomenal job.
He's a classic, awesome, tall, big, who's agile, can get blocks, can box out, rebounds. He's going to be great. I think he'll go high in the NBA draft, especially if he finishes out the year good. Well,
yeah, and him versus Baycott will be the most interesting matchup. Will be the Leaky Black versus Baycott. Will be the variant, because, you know, Paulo has rocketed now up to potentially being the number one pick on the draft. I think Jabari took a big hit with Auburn going out and having a bad showing. There's been some people questioning if Chet should go back into college next year because of him kind of getting pushed around, and that maybe he would benefit from another year in college. I doubt Chet does that. Benefit
from, you know, maybe gaining some weight.
Yeah, that too. But so it does seem like Paulo's the number one pick. And look, Leaky is a great defender, but, you know, Paulo has shown at times where he can be. The one problem I would say watching Duke, and they've done great, but they're the one thing I think Carolina has to take advantage of. Carolina does a really good job lately of moving with the ball, great movement on the offensive side. at times on Duke, there's a lot of ball watching. And against this Carolina team, you cannot do that.
Absolutely not. No, I think, and that's been Duke against any team, especially teams that are going to defend hard like Carolina, because they have really fast, tough guards up front defending.
Yeah.
Is Duke's going to have to penetrate and look to draw defenders and kick. And I think they're going to have to find Paolo in mismatches, because it doesn't matter who's guarding him. He's 6'9", 250 pounds. No one can guard that. So as long as he's attacking with intent, I think sometimes he, you know, if he gets denied or stuck a little bit, he gets scared and he dishes out too soon. But when he attacks with intent, he's got a great spin move. He's got a great step back. He can get to the rim, but he has to have that confidence and that willingness to do that. And I think that's what's going to take him over the edge as a number one pick, is showing that he can be that step up superstar, that he wants to get the ball and he wants to score for Duke, take or win. Because so far I haven't seen the killer instinct in him, but I think it's there and he needs to show it in this game.
And I think it's really, I think Duke obviously has the advantage in talent and they run a deeper bench. Hubert stays pretty close to his starting five with a few exceptions of bringing people off the bench, but Duke has a much deeper bench that they go to.
Maybe seven.
Yeah.
Maybe seven guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we got Joey Baker that comes in. He's not coming much, but I think he's a good solution if one of our guards gets in foul trouble. He's a great shooter. And obviously we've got Theo John who gets in the foul trouble, but he's great under the hoop. So I think he's going to be a good force down there.
The opening line opened up at 4.5 for Duke. He's now down to 4. I think you're kind of around there. Just a kind of a few of the stats that I kind of took track on. For pace, Duke is way ahead of Carolina. Carolina's ahead of Duke in pace. Duke's a much better team at slowing it in the front court. Carolina moves. Duke's 180th in pace of play in college. Carolina's 75th right now, but Duke kills them on field goal percentage. Duke is shooting 50% from the field. Carolina is down to 108th, shooting 45th from the field. When Duke gets rolling with the ball, they're great. Duke is ahead. Duke is and Carolina are pretty close on threes, just averaging about 8 a game for both of them. The field goal percentage, again, is pretty close for both, shooting 37. Free throws, Carolina has a slight edge there. The rebounds, Carolina has a slight edge there. Assists, again, they're very close. It's like 15.3 to like 16.6 steals. That's a big advantage for Duke.
When it comes down to Duke and Carolina, it doesn't matter. In regular season, in a tournament, we've had times when a Duke team's been trash, a Carolina team has been trash, and they come in and they win because the rivalry is bigger than the teams, the stats, the talent. Anything can happen on any given day. And when you put in, you know, the narrative of this game and how much is behind it, semifinal, Coach K's last game, grudge match from being embarrassed in senior night, there are so many elements playing into this.
Oh, yeah.
That stats, talent, history, it doesn't matter. This is a 50-50 game. It can absolutely go whatever way, depending on the night. I want to say Duke is the better team. I think they are the better team. But
they
that
are.
Means nothing. It means nothing in March, and it means nothing between Carolina and Duke. So it is literally going to be shut up, and let's just see who wins.
Carolina's already dealt with two of those, with Baylor and with UCLA. They were the better teams. Those are two teams that could have won the tournament. A lot of people, liked Michigan State versus you guys. And Michigan State, pushed Duke. I think that was a very important game, too, was that Michigan State game. Because you could tell games in that the K was getting a little bit worried. And in the UCLA game, I could tell games that Hubert was getting worried until Caleb started going crazy.
Yeah, and I think both teams have had – dramatic wins and tough wins where they gritted it out, they've come through and they pulled off victories where they could have folded, and that has given them confidence. And you can see, and watching, I think one thing that's been really great about watching Coach K this tournament that could be a huge benefit is K looks like he does not give a shit in the best way possible. He looks so relaxed, he looks so just happy to be there. He's just like, I'm just on the sidelines watching these guys play, and sometimes I tell them what to do. He does not care. He's a total observer of this. He's along for the ride. He's enjoying his time. He picks up his wifey back into the locker room. He's having fun, which I haven't seen Kay like smile, be so emotional like ever. you know, he's just happy to be here. He's shouting out his players. He's looking like he's like dapping his players and hugging them. And I'm like, I've never seen a Duke team so relaxed and so having fun. And I think that is one thing that I love watching come in. There's a lightheartedness to it. And I think they, you know, the players will take on more of the burden than I think Kay will. Because I actually don't think Kay really cares if he wins or loses. His resume is in history. He's already the GOAT. Yeah. But, well, he cares a little bit. But, you know, this is not going to seal his legacy.
Yeah.
I think it will put a cherry on top of it, but it's not going to destroy his legacy. He knows. He knows that. So, you know, I think that is definitely showing the Duke players. They're just having fun. They want to do it for Kay in a good way. They're not feeling that ultimate pressure like they did on senior night anymore. So there seems to be more of a relaxed atmosphere about it rather than, like, where our heads are on the chopping block.
And to kind of play nice, I mean, Duke and Carolina's had nothing but admiration from some of their coaches for Kay. I mean, Dean Smith was the reason he got the USA job. Roy was on his staff for the USA job. So there has been respect there, but at the end of the day, still, the bragging rights are be there. A few final questions here before we get out of here. The two conspiracy theories that I've heard from Carolina fans and NCAA fans. One, Kay's going to win this game on Saturday and then retire and let John win the championship.
No.
It's like he goes out with the win versus North Carolina and then he's done. And then he's like, yeah, I'm done. John can win the championship now. I'm like, no.
My heart. I got to sit on the bench. Go, John.
Yeah. And then the other one, and this one I could put, if he does lose to Carolina on Saturday, and then so he has the loss at Cameron and he has the loss in the Final Four to Carolina, do you think there's a chance that he would come back next year because of not wanting to go out that way?
No, absolutely not. Like I said, he knows he's done what he's done. Yeah. This is a victory lap. The fact he's walking arm in arm with his wife every game and his family is there and he's smiling, like, this is the end. He does not want to come back. And, like, I love Kay, but I know a lot of Duke fans also don't want Kay to come back anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I think the last several years with him have been stagnant. They've been lacking inspiration and creativity. And I think everyone's quite looking forward to having a young Shire who is, you know, the mastermind behind all their amazing recruiting in the last several years anyway. So I think having someone like Shire who's young, he's fresh, he's a Duke legacy, but he's also responsible for all that amazing recruitment and relationships with his guys anyways, it's going to be a seamless transition. I think it's going to be nice as a Duke fan to see those changes.
Yeah, I think, you know, just seeing with Carolina, you can see the difference. This is a different team than what Roy has, right? Like we talked about the pace side. That's a lot of Herbert, right? He got them a lot more run and guns kind of team. Where does this rank on favorite Duke teams you've been able to watch throughout the years?
This Duke team has been up and down all season. It's, I mean, we started at the beginning, we had amazing wins against Kentucky and Gonzaga, where I was like, damn, these guys are going to be, you know, something to reckon with. And then they had dreadful losses in the ACC, where they had no business losing to certain teams. And then they had great wins, where they looked dominant. But I think through the tournament, they've come out as the team that I thought they would be at the season. And you can see the growth. And so, I mean, I won't say they're one of my all-time favorite Duke teams because I hate the one-and-done system. I hate the fact that you don't get to grow and know the players.
Blame Harrison Barnes because that's what made Kay do this. He said in his book, once he saw Roy do Harrison Barnes, he's like, okay.
I mean, I don't knock any team for doing it because it's the competitive advantage that everyone's taking. But you know, there's some nice kids on it. It's been fun to watch them, especially in the tournament, grow and develop. It'd be awesome to watch them play for 4 years. But, you know, it's been a good Duke team. I mean, I can't even remember some of the guys to play in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't been very memorable, not even from just a winning standpoint. But
yeah, like the Tatum and Ingram runs, you can't remember really anybody else in those squads.
No, I mean, yeah, like I said, the last couple, even the guys going to the league in the last few years, in and out, you know, nothing special.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's a fun team, and I think it's going to go down in the books because it is Kay's last team. So, I mean, we'll see if they win a chip. They might be the best. I mean, they're never going to meet my 2010 team.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's impossible.
this Carolina team, the team in 17, I think will be my favorite with Joel and with Isaiah and Kennedy and everything. That's a very special team to me. This team is special for a different reason, because this is the first time being a Carolina fan. I'm rooting for the underdog. Like, we're not even supposed to be here. We weren't supposed to make the tournament. We weren't supposed to make the tournament. We're not supposed to be here. People don't have any of our guys in the first round. And then just watching this stupid farm boy, Brady Manek, transfer over and knock all these buckets down and seeing Bacot grow and, you know, people wanting Hubert fired. So it's been an up and down season, you know, for both teams, but Carolina's definitely had an up and down season. So this team's definitely a team that rises up for me. I want Villanova if we do make it, because there is an arc of getting over history's past now of, you know, the Reynolds shot at the buzzer. So I mean, if we have Kansas too, Kansas has a history against Carolina as well of knocking us out in Final Fours and the Elite Eight season with Thomas Robinson. That's the year that Kendall broke his wrist. If Kendall didn't break his wrist, I'm pretty sure we would have beat them, but that's when we had Stillman White as our quarterback, as our point guard that year. So I'm good with either, and I'm sure you don't really care about who we – do you really care?
I mean, they're both formidable coaching matchups, yeah. Right? Myself, Jay Wright.
Yeah.
I don't know. They both shown weaknesses in the tournament. I think Kansas has shown a little bit stronger than Villanova throughout. They haven't really had as many wobbles. Nova's pulled a few out of the bag. So – It's really a tough one to call. Like I said, I don't care. Semifinals, beat Carolina. I mean, honestly, I think whoever wins the Duke Carolina match is going to have a serious hangover for the championship. Oh, and they're doing it anyway. So yeah. I think this is the game that matters. We'll worry about the championship after.
So we're going to end this with a little bit of a game. We're going to draft our ultimate Duke and North Carolina starting fives.
Oh, my God.
So you're going to draft five players for Duke and five players for North Carolina, and I'm going to draft five players for Duke and North Carolina. I will be nice because you're a guest on here. So you will get the draft first and pick, you know, whoever you want to go for Duke or Carolina first. Obviously, you probably go for Duke. So who do you take with pick?
I'm not picking any Carolina players. I won't even pick MJ.
you have to do a Carolina draft, and you have to do Duke play, because the idea will be to kind of take away your fan favorites from those two.
I don't even know that many Carolina players. Okay, well, I got to take a Dukie first.
Yes.
And I got to take G Hill.
Okay, so you can take Grant first. Okay. I'm going to go with Carolina, and I'm going to take Anton Jameson.
I knew you would.
Yeah, I'm going with my favorite Tar Heel. All right.
Okay. I'm going to go Carolina.
I'm going to add on this too. It's players that we have seen. That's why Jordan and James Worthy and all those aren't accessible, right? It's players we've Fair seen. Enough. So we've seen Grant Hill and all that, right? Yeah.
Golly. I'm trying to think of like who I actually like from Carolina that I would take. Right, let me go one more Dukie.
Yeah, no, you can go all five Duke if you want. You can do whatever you want.
Well, obviously Duke's a better team, so I'm going to take JJ Redick because he's my all-time favorite Duke.
Yeah, I was debating being an asshole and just taking JJ with the next pick, but couldn't do that.
JJ's the best Duke ever.
Next up for me, I'll go back to Carolina, and I am going to take Vince Carter.
Of course you are. Right, oh, God, in his prime, free motorcycle. Bless his heart, bless his soul, Jay Will.
Jay Will, who I did get to see.
All-time broadcaster. Could have been all-time NBA.
So you got your backcourt settled now. You got Jay and JJ, and you got Grant at the three, so you're going to need to find a center and a power forward now. I got my power forward and my center figured out. I'm going to go to Duke right now, and I'm going to go with Elton Brand.
Oh, that's because you want to go throw back Clippers.
Okay, who you got?
Shane Battier.
Nice.
We'll call Shane old power forward.
You could do a power forward. He did power forward with the Heat and with Duke a little bit.
Yeah, he's power forward.
The reason I'm trying to avoid Carolina, because I know I have to do a point guard, and that's going to be the hardest position to pick for me. Next up, I will do back to Carolina, though, and I will go into the paint and go with the center, and I'm going to go with Sean May.
Sean who? See, I don't even know.
Sean May from 2005.
Oh, Sean May.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I actually did like Sean May. I won't even lie. Oh, God. Let's see. I mean, I actually have a lot of Duke centers.
It's hate because there's so many Duke players I freaking hate.
There's a lot of good Duke players.
I hate so many of them. Like, I'm not going to pick Nolan Smith. I'm not definitely going to pick Grayson Allen. I'm not going to pick Kyle Singler. Like, I hate all these guys.
I mean, I would pick Zion Williamson, but he's fat and he's basically Greg Oden, so you can't. Kyrie Irving, he's a bit loco now. Mm-hmm. Went off my map. I mean, you've got Dunleavy Jr. as well. Like, we're stacked. We got a lot of, like, all-time NBA guys.
I don't mind Mike Dunleavy.
But I think if I'm going center, if we're looking at actual college days, college performance, who I loved watching on that JJ team, Sheldon Williams, the landlord.
Candace Parker's ex.
He was crazy in the paint. Yeah. That was, like, back when it actually mattered to be a center.
Yeah.
You could park up there and back down and rebound.
I'm going to go Duke. I'm going to pick Jason Tatum.
Oh, Jay Tate. See, I can't decide. I just picked with my heart.
Okay.
Right. So I take Deuce Tatum on my bench.
So you've picked all Duke now. You have to go all Carolina now.
Well, I get a bench?
You get five.
Five more? Jesus.
It's a start. Well, you haven't done any Carolina. You've done five Duke. It's the best five on each side. Now you got to go to Carolina now.
All right, Raymond Felton.
Okay, so you took one of the point guards off there. Made a little bit easier. Okay, man, I just cannot decide on this point guard. It's so hard. You know what? We may just have to double back, but I'm going to take Joel Berry.
I like Joel Berry. I actually do like Joel Berry.
I love him. I love Joel. All right. Back up for Carolina picks for you.
I find it. Okay. I got one. Did you pick Harrison Barnes?
I did not.
Harrison Barnes.
Nice.
I'm picking guys I actually liked playing against too.
Next up for me, I will pick John Shire.
Oh, my Johnny boy.
Who I didn't. I did one of the few kind of Duke white boys I didn't hate. Okay.
Right, can I pick Rasheed Wallace?
Yep, you saw him.
In our era, it's a bit early.
As long as you saw him play.
Yeah, Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah, it's a good pick. Back to Duke. Man. You know what, I'm going to finish with Carolina. And, there's so many good players throughout the years. I kind of want to take a guy from almost every single championship team, too. So I will go with Tyler Hansbrough.
Yeah, there was no way I was picking him.
No.
Mike O.T. can suck it.
So I took one from each of the championship teams, with Sean May, Joel Berry, and Psycho T. And then from the best Carolina team that got me into Carolina that never won with Jameson and Vince. So now I got to pick two more Dookies still.
Right. Ty Lawson.
Yeah. See, I couldn't decide between him and Joel, so I just did it myself.
And they actually, like, I tend to like UNC point guards.
Yeah, we have a few good ones. They're
always just good players, and they're pretty quiet, and they get it done. Yeah.
Except for Cole Anthony. He doesn't shut up.
Yeah, no, really.
For Duke, I'll take Christian Laettner. Okay, so you have one more pick and I have one more pick.
I have one more pick, eh? God, I'm trying to pull out NBA or UNC players out of my brain. Name me some UNC guys that I would know.
Okay, so we have anyone from, well, I guess you don't want to pick anyone from this team out of jinxing, so you're not going to pick Brady or anything like that. We got Justin Jackson.
I would pick Leaky Black for name alone, but not right now.
Theo Pinson. Tyler Zeller, Wayne Ellington, Danny Green.
I'll go Danny Green, actually. I like Danny Green. Sure. He played for the Celtics. Big dunks.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Okay, what am I going to do for the last Dookie pick here?
You still got RJ. You got RJ.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll take RJ. Good call.
Well, Canadian love there.
Yeah, we're not taking – I took Zion.
Zion is washed up.
Okay, so my Duke was Elton Brand, Jason Tatum, John Shire, Christian Leitner, RJ Barrett. My North Carolina, Antoine Jameson, Vince Carter, Sean May, Joel Berry, and Tyler Hansbrough.
Not bad.
Yeah, what do you got? Did you write yours down or no?
I didn't write mine down. I thought you were writing them down.
Whatever. I think for Katie, she had Ray Felton, Ty Lawson, Rasheed Wallace, Danny Green, and I forgot the last one. And then for Duke, Grant Hill, J.J. Redick, Jay Williams, Shane Battier, and Sheldon Williams. Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
There we go. The Ultimate Duke and Carolina Podcast, with breaking rights on the line and a family rivalry here on the line. There's no point of us saying who's going to win. Much like when I had Jermaine on here to do Lakers in Miami. It's completely pointless.
Who's going to win? Duke.
For us, the exercise demons beating Duke and then beating Nova, I think that might be the best championship ever for me. If Coach K wins, is that the top championship for you?
I mean, the 2016 team should never have won. That was a great win. The 2010 team, I absolutely loved from the start. So that was a great way to watch and watch a team you actually love and care about win. I think, this will be up there because it's Kay's last ride. And I think Kay winning on a chip would just be amazing.
It's funny because Carolina people were at the point about a week ago here. It's like, fine, let Duke win. I want this. And it's like, there was a little bit of like civility, a little bit of being like, fine, we'll agree. But now it's like, if you make the final, I'm not rooting for you to win the title. Like, now it's done. No. So, all right. Well, worst of luck to you. And until next time, everyone. Cheers.
I hope all of your players get a stomach bug and recover very quickly after 24 hours.
Everyone enjoy March Madness this week. It's actually been a really fun tournament this year. I think having the tournament gone in 2020 because of COVID, and then last year, I'm not trying to crap on Baylor's title or anything like that. They won and we had some fun games there, but this tournament this year has kind of been a regain to form to the tournament, I believe. And honestly, I don't think CBS or the NCAA could have asked for a better Final Four. Yes, we talked a lot about Duke and Carolina, and that's a premier matchup, but getting Kansas, the true blue blood, and Villanova, who I say is the newest blue blood there, because I want to say Michigan State's a blue blood anymore.
No, I mean, it's all the blues, isn't it? So it is legit the blues and the blue blood. Yeah. Top teams, best, three of the best coaches. I don't think you quite.
The funny thing is, it's for you guys. It's literally you guys against the world, because it sounds like the Nova and Kansas fans, doesn't matter who wins, are all staying to boo Coach K. So
I mean, that happens. Everyone always hates
you. Yeah. Because you're the Yankees, more or less, right? You're the Yankees. You're the Lakers. Everyone wants to see the downfall. So, but at the end of the day, I will slowly admit it would be, for the story. It's an interesting story. I'm definitely rooting to be spoiler and smash the pumpkin, but we will see what happens, everyone. Thanks so much. Thanks to Katie Dowling. Until next time, everyone. Cheers and enjoy the game.